All right, Joe, we are back on the podcast where we are training men in spiritual fitness. How you been doing, Joe?
You know, I think a little overwhelmed. I think this is, we're talking about focus, and it's one of these moments where I think this last week, just realizing that my focus has become too scattered, you know, on too many things, and that need to kind of recover some simplicity, some priorities, and just do what the Lord's asking and not just everything that I could do. So anyway, it's been an interesting week in terms of trying to cut the fat a little bit from life.
That's good. I thought you were like a robot, Joe, and you were just always focused perfectly and everything. I didn't think this affected you. I thought we were just talking about me during this podcast season. I thought this was just therapy for me. So I'm glad it's having an effect on you too. No, for guys that are just joining in with us, either on maybe just on this episode, we've been spending the past few episodes talking about the disciplines of a focused mind. And we're in this time of Lent where we're trying to help guys over 40 days be less distracted and be more focused and have a mind that's set on Christ. And so we've been looking at, okay, what does it look like to be a man with a focused mind? And we've talked about things like repetition, just memorization, so approaching God's word in that way, but also just understanding, looking for clarity, that a man of focus really fights through the vagueness, looks for clarity. And then also last week we talked about adhesion. How do you take what you're reading and learning and then actually, man, put it into practice and find ways that it actually sticks to you and actually makes a difference. And so just different, talking and playing around with different elements of a focused man. And so this week we've got one that on the one hand isn't surprising, but is also challenging. And we really want to just talk to guys about prayer. And I don't think it is in any way or should be in any way surprising for us to say to men, hey, if you want to be a man of focus, a man whose mind is set on Christ, you need prayer. And prayer is a piece of that. It's one of these disciplines of a focused mind. But I will be honest, Joe, that when it comes to prayer, it's like my most distracted time. It's probably one of those times that I am least focused, especially in personal times of prayer when I'm by myself after I've read my Bible. There are times when my mind goes all over the place and I'm anything but focused. So first of all, help me. Am I alone in this? And how do we go forward from there?
I think we will all say that often the mind rambles just free, you know, as we pray, and it seems like such an unfocused time. So I think everybody listening can identify with that struggle. I think one thing guys need to hear at the outset is that we're talking about one of the objectives of prayer in this episode, and we might label that alignment. So it's not the only reason we pray. I mean, sometimes honestly, your heart is just a cauldron of emotions. You just got to pour it out, and it's not about getting any kind of clarity or direction. It's just honestly emptying yourself before God. And that's good. Mm-hmm. But that's not the only reason we pray. And I think if you want an example of what prayer can do, we see it in the life of Jesus. Especially if you look at Luke's gospel, what you see is that before Jesus kind of begins a new stage of his ministry. And so maybe it's before really his baptism and his, his ministry, or if it's before he's, appointing disciples, what you see is he's spending time in prayer. And what we find and what we discover in that is there's this way in which his own heart is collected and prepared for a phase of mission, having spent time with the Father in prayer. And so there's this ability through prayer to come to what we might call alignment, where our heart is really underneath the heart of God's. And that's a place of great focus. And so I think there's something about prayer, if we can think about it from in a particular way, it can lead into a more focused life, even if that's not always the result of our times of prayer.
All right, so I want to get guys there. I want to get guys to thinking about prayer in terms of alignment and in terms of focus. But I think on our way there, we need to see some of the dangers of prayer and see maybe some bad examples of prayer that's not aligned, prayer that doesn't lead to focus, the kind of prayers that we probably all experienced this and have felt left feeling empty and not focused and not aligned with God. So let's maybe go back and forth. I think we together have a list of like six. So this is what I would say, six ways to pray that will not leave you focused, that will not leave you aligned. So why don't you start us off and give us one?
Yeah, one is just to pray honestly when with a sense of kind of ignorance of what is true. And what I mean by this is part of what we've talked about is the importance thus far of memorization, of understanding, of having this basic framework of truth. And one of the things that can really hinder our prayers is we really don't know much that's true about God or about his ways, about how he interacts with us. And when we step into prayer with a really vague understanding of who we're speaking to, or when we really don't have clarity about what his objectives are for his people, that can really affect our prayers and limit our ability to pray in a way that feels meaningful. And so I think one thing that we just need to avoid is a mind that's devoid of truth regarding God, his purposes, the gospel, etc.
Yeah, I think that's we got to start there because that leads us back to what we've talked about previously. And we intentionally started this series by talking about be a man who's repeatedly going over God's word, memorizing it, meditating on God's word in such a way that it's in your head, in your head, in your head. And then a guy who's fighting through the vagueness of what God's word says and looking for clarity and understanding. I think if you do those things, then it sets you up to not be a man who's, yeah, I guess praying accidentally as a heretic is almost what you're saying, a man who's praying ignorantly of things of God that he doesn't know. And the only way to fight through that is to fight for the truth by meditating on the truth day and night. And so, yeah, there's a danger of prayer is prayer that's separated from the truth of God and from the word of God, I guess simply put, is how we'd say that. All right, so what's another one of these dangers of prayer?
Another one would just be hastiness. I think I often feel this. My mouth speaks before I'm composed at all, kind of in my spirit, in my mind. And I think it's largely it's just kind of a bad cultural habit among especially kind of evangelical Christians. We leap out into prayer, and then we try to catch up, with what we're saying. And if you've ever been around somebody who has a different approach, maybe they just pause and there's like this kind of awkward stillness for a few seconds. And then they kind of slowly enter in. It's a very different experience. And so I think that kind of that hastiness, sometimes when our mind or our mouth just starts rambling, it's really hard even honestly to process our thoughts. And so rather than thinking and then speaking, we're just jabbering in the presence of God. And so there's this kind of flightiness that results in our prayer.
Yeah, I think the danger is that often we see prayer and use prayer as a kind of the bookends, whether it be to our morning devotion or our meetings at church or even our worship services. That's prayer is just kind of the natural bookends. So we begin and we end with prayer. But in that, we can't just fly through it and we can't just speed through it. And I think that when I'm at my best, prayer is often taking me somewhere. So it's not an end in and of itself. But when I'm hasty in my prayers and I'm rushing through it, or just I see it as kind of a bookend, it takes me not to the places I want to be. In other words, a good prayer takes me somewhere in the form of obedience or into the presence of God, or just points of reflection. But hastiness doesn't take me any of those places. And so the dangers of rushing through prayer like that is that it's just it's a bookend thought and it takes you somewhere else. Doesn't put you and leave you on that path of reflection and growth and wanting to look towards how to be obedient to the things that you just talked to God about. So yeah, what give me another one of these ways to pray that's not going to leave us focused and not going to leave us aligned with God.
Formality would be another one. This is kind of, your head without your heart being engaged. You're going through the motions. It's perfunctory. It's lifeless. Again, that kind of disengagement, because it is disengagement. You might be using words, but again, it's not your actual soul that's actually connecting in any meaningful way. And so that's not going to result in any kind of transformation. You might fill some minutes, and at times, it might even be better than doing nothing, just to at least be, mouthing some prayers. But at the same time, it's not going to have the same degree of potency in your life. And so that kind of formality is something that I think we want to be careful, to try to avoid if we can.
Yeah, I think of all the six that we're going to talk about, this is probably the one I have the most sympathy for, and the one that I'm almost like, oh man, I can remember being in my 20s and almost having Just thinking back to being raised in the home that I was in and thinking about my father who prayed the same exact prayer every night at dinner. And it just bugged me. Like when I was in my 20s, I was like, what is this guy doing? It's just, I go back home and he's still praying the same exact prayer and felt like it just felt lifeless. And I was very critical in my 20s of my dad. And then in my 30s, I began to realize becoming a father and just getting to know others. What a gift that I had a dad that was present and praying every night. You know what a gift that simple act was. And so I on the one hand, I want to say there is a gift to the formality of prayer. Just the fact that someone's doing it is amazing. To have a father who does pray with his kids every night shouldn't be overlooked. However, on the other hand, I can't say as a 6-year-old, I saw through it. Like even at 6 years old, I could see through that it was a formality and that there perhaps wasn't any heart behind there. So there's kind of, I don't want to say that there's a balance there, but there is a, yes, there's good in the formality, but when there is no heart behind it there is no ultimate focus and alignment with the heart of God in that sense. So just a danger to watch out for, I'd say, for guys. All right, so what's another? You have another way that the guys could pray that won't leave them focused and aligned with God.
I want to be careful with this next one, because we have an amazing privilege to speak to our Heavenly Father, and to do so with a kind of confidence, and to not feel like we have to have it all perfectly arranged. But nonetheless, I mean, I would just say rambling can be a danger. And the way I would have people think about this, again, there are moments we're free to pray, but often we're needlessly careless when it comes to prayer. And you might liken it to, you know, if you work for a company, if you know you've got some issues in your department, you've got a meeting with the CEO, and you know beforehand you would think about, okay, well, what do I want to say? Like, what's really the concern? Let me try to get, you know, clarity insofar as I'm able, so I can bring it to his attention and try to get the help that's needed for that problem. You know, there are a lot of things, conversations we prepare for, and there's a degree to which sometimes we come in and we're asking stuff and we don't even really know if we want it or if we need it or if it's the right thing. And yes, the Holy Spirit intercedes, knows what we need more than we do. Jesus, you know, he's our advocate above. But still, there's a degree of negligence. Sometimes we're just too lazy to care to try to arrange our thoughts so that we can really have a meaningful engagement and even see if God answers the prayer. Because if we don't know what we're asking for, often we don't even know what the gift might look like. So I would just say, rather than just jump in and be rambling and try to think that spontaneously you can discover everything that you want to put before God, there's sometimes great wisdom in taking some time in advance and then going into that space with even some notes or something that that you've worked out, you know, as you come before your Heavenly Father.
Yeah, there's a difference I've noticed in my personal prayer life, between the difference between when I pray in public, like in church, if I'm preaching, or you know, at the end of a sermon, or in small group even. There's a difference between that prayer and my private prayers, you know, silent prayers especially. And I think there probably always will be a difference in some sense, but I know that sometimes I can, yes, lean towards performative prayers, but on that hand, my public prayers are very focused. I don't, there's no times of just 15 seconds of emptiness in the middle of a prayer. That would be super embarrassing, right? Or there's no time of I'm praying and then all of a sudden I start talking out loud about something totally different that's not in all aligned with prayer. But when I'm praying privately, I totally do that. It's not at all focused. I ramble a lot privately and I go off the rails a lot privately. I have a lot of time of just emptiness, not in a healthy way, you know, not silent reflection, but just total emptiness. And that's because, yes, I haven't come to this time as a true, as you're kind of pitching, a meeting with God, like you would meet with a boss, like you would meet with someone that's important, that this is, you know, true valued time, not to be just rambled through and talking about nothing or just talking to talk. That's never healthy. That's not the kind of prayer life that's actually going to get you anywhere. Sorry, give us another one of these ways to pray that's not going to leave us focused and aligned with God.
Now, this may not always be our intent, but I think if someone was looking on and listening, so you know, imagine somebody, you know, some pagan who worships some kind of idol or something, how they treat their God with such respect and reverence, and then they're watching us pray to ours. And I think what they would look at, it wouldn't be necessarily the familiarity in the sense that there's this like child with the Father, I think sometimes it would just be a total irreverence, a total kind of disrespect that would characterize that. Even our use of the name, you know, you think of how sacred the act of calling upon the name of God is through the Old Testament. And it's almost like, you know, in prayer, whenever you don't know what to say, you just throw in the name of God, right? You know, Holy Father, Holy Father. You're not thinking about it. It's just kind of filler. And how does the name of God become filler, you know, for our sentences or some sort of punctuation? And so, you know, prayer is all about being in the presence of the living God. And if part of, you know, our prayer life isn't making us more focused in the sense of being more aware of whose presence we're in, you know, something's lacking. And so I would just, you know, challenge guys to, that's part of why it's nice to not be hasty, you know, to collect yourself and recall who you're before. And then, you know, to go into it with that kind of living awareness. And that makes it a much more real engagement as well, and less rote and kind of dead.
Yeah, I think that just again harkens back to what we talked about at the beginning, just the ignorance factor, which I think is why it's so important to connect prayer and scripture meditation. I think that I am most reverent in prayer when I have just read about who God is, so that, you know, there's something to connecting with the Word of God, reading about who He is, that puts you in a place of awe and reverence and can guide you into an actual reverent time of prayer. So I think when men begin to separate themselves from the Word of God and from the truth of who He is and just rely on a prayer life alone, that's when prayer becomes this kind of irreverent prayer that's just that really has no tie to who God is, and maybe even disrespectful in some ways. So yeah, just keeping it attached there to the Word of God is huge. I think we've got one more, the last dangerous way I think men could pray, and that's just a self-centeredness, right? The kind of prayer that's self-centered. So what would you say to guys about that?
I mean, it's not hard to reduce God to being just that guide to enable you to fulfill your life ambition. You know, that genie that you rub the bottle and he gives you, God willing, you know, the thing that you're looking for. And so you totally flip the script. Rather than you being his servant, he becomes your servant, or at least that's how you operate. And that's not the purpose of prayer. You know, we can pray boldly, and we can pray by faith, and we can have all kinds of amazing outcomes of our prayer. But it's got to be for his glory, not just for our own self-fulfillment, detached from that glory.
Yeah, and I find that self-centered prayer is actually probably some of the most focused prayers you'll ever hear from men, right?
That's right. It's easy to focus on me. I get you.
Totally. Yeah, I have no problem focusing during those prayers. But what's interesting, you know, if you actually, you know, if God actually gave you everything that's on your wish list, like if you just like laid it all before God, all self-centered and laid it all before God, you'd actually become way more distracted in your pursuit to follow Christ. And that's so that's where we've got to realize our prayers are not about us. And even if we did make it about us and ask God for all the things and said, we would become so overwhelmed that we wouldn't have time for him. We'd be distracted by all the stuff and all of the other. So prayer that is focused on self and self-centered and, hey, give me this, you're the genie, doesn't even lead, it could never, even if it worked, it wouldn't leave you in a place of actually being a disciple of Christ. It doesn't work. So that's a, yeah, dangerous form of prayer that we've got to avoid. Okay, so we gave guys six dangers, and I've got to say, with all of these dangers, Joe, is it no wonder that guys find it difficult to pray? Like, right? The prayer is such a difficulty for men that you and I find it difficult to pray and find it difficult to have times of focus and alignment with God. So I totally sympathize, and I'm there. I'm empathize with everybody that's listening. Prayer is difficult, and it's one of these things that is constantly going to be a challenge for us. But I would love to leave guys with something hopeful, so maybe something to grab onto and to use. So if these are the ways how not to pray, to be in alignment with God, can you give us maybe some ways to pray, that will put us in focus and alignment with God?
Again, guys, recall Jesus. You know, he's baptized, he's beginning his ministry, goes into the wilderness, spends this time in prayer, comes out of it just focused on the mission God has given us to do. And that's a lesson to us. So I'll just Richard Loveless, who a classic book on discipleship, spiritual dynamics, he's got this great quote. He says, Prayer is one of the main agencies through which we are brought to understand the mind of Christ toward our particular mission and the work of the kingdom in general. So this idea, through prayer, we get focus in terms of what the mission of God is that we're involved in.
Yeah.
And so what would it look like? And remember, this isn't the only way to pray, but what would it look like to pray for the sake of alignment behind the will of God? And what I would have guys think about are just kind of seven elements of prayer. And I'll try to tie each one into that topic or that aim of alignment. And so the first is just invocation. This is where you are taking that moment and you're about to do the unthinkable. You're going to call upon the living God.
Yeah.
And it's this opportunity to be aligned, the self before God. Whatever you think you've been living in the presence of, you know, you're shifting your perspective. And so think about it for a moment. And, you know, one of the, I don't know, titles that's been on my mind lately as I pray has just been uncreated power. There's something to me to call out to the uncreated power. And it feels like, okay, this is all of a sudden real. And so there's that moment of alignment with invocation. The second element of prayer, I'd have guys think of adoration. And this is when you're aligning your mind according to what is true about God. So your heart doesn't really have to be fully engaged. It's not going to be, because you're just stepping into the space of prayer. But you just start saying, you are. And every time you say, you know, you are holy, or you are glorious, or you are righteous, you know, what's happening is all of a sudden your mind is having true thoughts of who that God is that you've called out to. And again, that's a kind of alignment behind the reality of God. Moving to third element, confession. You know, confession, this is aligning your mind according what's true about yourself. The truth about yourself is a lot harder to admit than we, you know, usually are willing to publicly say. And so, you know, we hide the truth all the time from other people, but this is the moment now, all of a sudden you're coming clean, you're stepping into the light, and you're aligning the reality of your brokenness and your sinfulness before a God, but who's gracious and glorious and powerful. And so again, there's this alignment that comes through confession. Moving on, the next element of prayer, thanksgiving. You know, this is when you're aligning your mind according to the faithfulness of God in the past. And so, you know, now you're in this space, rather than jumping out with your petitions, you're jumping out, acknowledging all of the ways that he has been so good, not just through history, but in your own recent memory. And so again, there's this alignment that actually you're under this God who's led you thus far. You know, here you're raising your Ebenezer, and he's going to continue to move you forward. Next element, supplication. This is when you're aligning your mind according to your present needs before a faithful God. So right now, you need help with the situations you're in. And you're taking these, you're not trying to handle them on your own. You're recognizing you're in covenant with the living God. So you present all of them before him, believing he's going to give you the required grace. Again, there's alignment there. You know, moving to the next element, I would call it maybe yielding or resolve. You know, when, after you've put forth all of these things that you want, that you feel like you need, but ultimately it's not your will, but his will that needs to be done. And so you actually take space in prayer, but and tell the Lord, you know, but you're willing. Whatever cup he gives you, you're willing to drink it. And so now your will is really resolved. It's really submitted underneath his. That's a position of alignment. And then the last thing I would say, the last element of prayer I'd point out to guys is what some of the old guys would call benediction. And someone like Isaac Watts, when he says benediction, this is when he would talk about just unleashing your emotion. At this point in prayer, when you're this aligned with God, you're going to find that that heart that was dead when you were started out suddenly is full of all kinds of things that you can just express. And at this moment, don't worry about there being any kind of alignment or clarity. Just gush, you know, just praise, you know, just scatter your affections, you know, before the Lord. And then as you step out of that time, if you've just gone through those motions, what you're going to find is all of a sudden you step into your day and you feel much closer in terms of alignment with who God is, what he's doing in your life, the faithfulness of his covenant love, and the provision he's going to give you. And so you're going to step out a whole lot more focused than you were before you spent that time in prayer.
That's beautiful. That's beautiful. That's a much more compelling vision for prayer than the six that we left guys with earlier. And I do want to double down in saying, as you mentioned, this is one way to pray. This isn't the only way to pray, but this is all about us trying to, we're in a unique setting right now where we're trying to say, here are the disciplines of a focused mind. Here's what this can look like in the life of a man who wants to set his mind on Christ. And so here's one way to look at prayer in that sense. So guys, I want you to take this and use it this week. Wherever you find yourself, maybe you can identify with one or more of those six ways of to pray that aren't leading you towards focus, and then begin to maybe take all seven or even just a few of those elements of prayer that Joe mentioned and begin to implement them in your life and see what happens. Get on a path, just begin slowly, get on a path towards becoming a man who has a mind that's focused on Christ. And y'all join us next week because we're going to continue talking about this.